We are live. Welcome to Elevate Today podcast. Today, I'm very happy to introduce a very special guest. Today, I am with Omar, and he is the gym owner of the new gym that I go to. So jiu-jitsu and fitness has been a huge part of my podcast, of my personal journey, and really just any kind of environment that I'm in, it just matters. If I'm there weekly, if I'm there every day, it's an important environment, and I'm very privileged to have the owner of somewhere that I am at every single day. So I introduce to you Omar, the owner of Lifestyle Fitness.
Thank you, Hannah. Thanks for having me.
No problem. How does it feel to be the owner of your own gym?
You know, sometimes I don't think about things like that, right? I kind of just do it because it's became so like normal to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's an amazing feeling to see people come and enjoy themselves as far as like any, if you're here for you know, jiu-jitsu, boxing, strength and conditioning, and when I step back and I kind of I see everyone having a good time, that's when I enjoy it the most. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an amazing feeling that I've always kind of I knew I wanted to do something like this, have my own like building, my own like business. Mm-hmm. I just as I kind of went and built myself, that's what kind of made me appreciate the things a little bit more.
So how long ago did you know that you wanted to start a gym?
What it has to be, I would say like within the last 3 years, I would say during COVID, I believe it's kind of, right before COVID, I started coaching. Mm-hmm. I started coaching, boxing. And prior to that, I was, working at a barbershop. You know, I'm a barber.
Yeah.
You know, so, then I was literally in the middle of a haircut. And I was thinking it kind of, I had already been coaching for a few months. And for me, I realized what boxing had done for me. Mm-hmm. You know, boxing and then the beauty industry, like being, working at a barbershop. And I was literally in the middle of a haircut and it just, you know, as you kind of zone out, mm-hmm. you zone out when you're in the middle of a haircut, because you already know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
So much repetition. You don't think about what guard you're going to pick up, what clipper you're going to pick up. And, it just came to me. I'm like, how crazy would it be, to have a boxing gym next to a barbershop, you know? So I was just like, because health and beauty is, for me, it's the most, those are two big important things for anyone, you know, anybody's life. Like you look good, you feel good, you know, and you do good. Mm-hmm. Like Coach Murph likes to say, you look good, feel good, fight good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really believe in that. You know, it's very powerful for every individual, you know? So, you know, I kind of put that in the back of my head. Like I had that thought, you know, and then, you know, COVID hit where you stopped, you know, obviously I was still working, you know, I was still, coaching, cutting hair. But I always kind of had that feeling. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew that I wanted to do a gym next to a barbershop.
That's so cool. You know, specifically so, next to it.
Next to it. Yeah. Because like, I mean, it all goes around. You know, and I thought, I'm like, well, what are two of the biggest things that people do every weekend? You know, they, every single time when I would ask like my clients, I'm like, hey, what you got going on? Oh, I'm gonna go to the gym and then, I'm getting my haircut right now. Mm-hmm. So every weekend, or, you know, that's what it was, you know, for everyone. So I'm like, well, why not just bring it here and then just do two things all in the same location?
That's so logical. And then you just managed to be Willow Glen.
Yeah, I mean, that Willow Glen is just, we felt like, so during COVID, I met a really good friend of mine. He's like my brother. And when I met him, you know, I was cutting his hair every week, you know, he was, and I thought it was amazing of like the conversations that we would have, you know, from the first day, it just, you know, it clicked. I'm like, this is good. This is a good person to have. It's a good environment. Mm-hmm. So, he offered me to actually work there because I had a studio during COVID. I had just gotten a studio. Mm. He offered me to, hey, why don't you just come and work out of here? Like, just rent out a space and save some money. And I'm like, all right. And it just happened to be that he had a gym. He had a small little gym that he would work at.
Dang.
And I was there probably about a year. I would say about a year. And we ended up moving locations. So as we were searching for a new location for a barbershop and a salon, I was actually taking a look. I was looking at a different spot down in Willow Glen. And then I was on my way back and I seen that spot right in the corner. So we were looking for a salon space. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even like a gym space or nothing, you know? And it just happened to be that, like, once we got the keys to that spot, the space was open. We found out there was a space that was open in the back.
That's crazy.
You know, so, and then we were like, oh, okay, well, let's, we kind of, one of his business partner took over it, you know, and we were able to have a small gym. But once I saw it, I'm like, this is a good space for a gym.
Dang.
You know, and like I said, we just kind of ended up in Willow Glen based off on just the salon. The salon was supposed to be the first. That was our main focus. And then once that space became available this year, that's when I'm like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and jump on it.
You did it fast, too.
Yeah.
That's considered super fast, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I didn't think it was going to be super fast like that, right? But it's just, for me, the way I saw it is, I'm like, hey, if I'm going to do it, then I'm going to go ahead and get it done, like, mm-hmm. quick. Because I don't want to, the more and more I delay on it, then the time passes and you don't end up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have that thought. Then now you have that, those thoughts that, oh, I thought about that. You know, and then you never end up doing it. So for me, I set a time frame. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and I started on, got the keys on the 15th, July 15th. And I told myself in 1 month, I'm going to go ahead and use that time to set it up. And September, I'm going to go ahead and open up. And that's what we did, you know. And we didn't have a specific like time frame when we were going to get everything, all the equipment in. All I knew is I had a boxing ring on the way.
Dang.
I had a boxing ring on the way, and I didn't know where I was going to put it, you know, and that's why I had to hurry up. So I talked to the landlord, and I'm like, hey, I have a business idea, and then I know that this space is available when wow. I start a gym. And then she was just kind of like, oh, it's like this. I actually thought about like doing something like that or like a dance studio. And I'm like, okay, that's, you know, dance studio, actually, that would have been a good idea too, you know?
Boxing's better though.
Boxing's just, you know, everybody enjoys boxing. But then I told him, like, well, like, you know, I really want to take over this space. I have a boxing ring on the way. And then she was just like, you have a ring on the way already? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, you really believe in this, huh? I'm like, yeah, I really do. Like, and she's like, okay. And prior to that, before the ring, I remember there was a small little opening on the door because they had like a bag on the windows, right? And then I would go, every day, right after I was done with my day in the front in the barbershop, I would go there and then I would kind of peek, and then I would see the whole building, right? And then I knew exactly where everything was gonna go. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do this, and then I just had that feeling like this is gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know what time it was going to happen at, but then I'm like, this is going to happen. I was just waiting for her. I was like, I'm going to wait. Well, I was waiting for her call, you know, to so we could take a look at the space.
Mm-hmm.
And then once she agreed on it, you know, I'm like, all right, like, this is real now. I'm like, I got the ring on the way. It came, I believe, like the following week that I got the keys. and I had to go to Oakland or to go pick it up.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so
you made it. You built it?
Yeah, we built it. It came in pieces.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, like everything, the post, the ropes, everything. We had built it, you know. That's all I knew. I wanted it to be like a full on MMA gym, but it was just a boxing gym at mm-hmm. first, you know. Once we built that, I'm like, okay, this looks like a real boxing gym now.
That's when a lot of people weren't in there, but yeah, just the ring.
just the ring. It was just you know, a few personal sessions, close friends, and that was it. Yeah. And then but like I said, it was towards the end of September. September 30th was the official grand opening.
And how did that feel that day for you, seeing all those people there?
Oh man, it was amazing. You know, I knew it was gonna be huge. Like, I knew the place was gonna blow. Like I said, or else I wouldn't have done it. I believed in it truly. Yeah. But that day was tough. I actually, one of my dogs passed away that same day.
Oh. Whoa.
Yeah.
The twin.
The one of the Dobermans. You know, I don't know if you ever saw both the Dobermans that I had.
I didn't see both. I've never seen both.
So just one of them. You seen the black one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a brown one.
Oh, yeah,
he
sad.
Was 4 years old, and that whole week, you know, I was preparing for the grand opening, and he had gotten really sick.
Four?
Yeah, he was only 4 years old. Yeah. So the night before, on was it Friday? I got home at like I think it was like 2 a.m, and then he wasn't doing well, and I stayed up till I think it was like 4:05 a.m. Like, he just passed away, like in the garage. And so, and I had that grand opening that same day.
That's a crazy thing, you
know. So
to wipe your tears and go to
work. Yeah, I was just, you know, I think probably slept like an hour that day. Whoa. And I had to be up, and I had to take him, you know, get cremated, and I took him. I had to drive all the way down to Salinas.
You're really close with your dogs, huh?
Yeah.
So that one got every to day. You
that one especially him, because We only had him about a year, but my son was the closest with him.
Aww.
You know, so that's when I didn't know how to tell him after, because I didn't see him I didn't see my son till the following day, but he didn't know anything about it. Yeah. Because he showed up to the grand opening, it was a good feeling to see everyone, all the people there, you know. But obviously I had to deal with that in the beginning of the day. Once I came back, I got back around like 12:01 in the afternoon, and then I was ready to work. I'm like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, I had to do it. I mean, it's not like I could, it was a grand opening for the gym. So, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot, you know, seeing all those people come by, and I know it's not easy to come to a new place, you know, especially a new gym. New place, and that's why I appreciate everyone that showed up that day, you know, because they believed in it, they believe in it, you know, and it's like, it's a vision and vision that I had, and for someone to come in and be a part of that, like, it wouldn't have came in life if it wasn't for everybody.
Yeah, everyone got there the first week of October, right?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
The day I walked in, it was like, oh my gosh. First off, the whole look was just so professional with you do white and black everything.
Yeah.
So it looked so classy. I've been seeing pictures, and it looks like the perfect like aesthetic look especially for fighting. It's just classic, clean black and white. And it was filled. Like the first day I went, the whole gym was filled.
Yeah, I remember it was that first Monday that we had just started jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So it was so quick, because I remember we got the mats installed on Friday, the day right before the grand opening, and I told Coach Murph, I'm like, hey, he's like, let's do it. We're starting jiu-jitsu on Monday, and I'm like, let's go. Like, I was, dang, you know, we were both kind of ready, you know. Yeah. I was like, let's do it, you know. You just jump, you know, and then yeah, it was packed. When I seen that, I'm like, oh shit, like it was amazing.
Yeah. So we were talking about this before, like, when you are a passionate person or like ambitious person, it's important to have vision and to set goals and to know that it's not always going to be exactly how you want it, but to still keep going anyway, which is kind of how you fell perfectly with having a barbershop and a gym right next to each other. So how do you stay motivated knowing that there is that dream and vision waiting for you once you continue to do your due diligence, your steps, and waiting for like the appointed time to be divinely given to you when it's when you're ready?
I think the most important thing is staying consistent every day. Every day you write something down, you write a goal that you may have. And there's going to be days that you're not motivated. You know, you're not motivated to go to the gym, to go to work, whatever it is, you know. And one thing that that I learned, and this is something that my my friend that I was telling you about, my brother, his name is Mike, is that he really taught me that. And one thing he would always bring up is like, continue to work on yourself, continue to work on your habits, you know, because your habits are the most important thing that you have. You know, when you're sick, when you're down, for example, like when my dog passed away, I still had those habits that I had to get up. You know, if it wasn't for those habits, then I probably wouldn't have gotten that extra push that that I received, you know. And I believe that like the more consistent that you are with yourself, the small little like accomplishments that you tell yourself that you're gonna do, you build that momentum. You know, it's like one thing at a time. Every single day you got to do something that like pushes you towards that goal, even if it's small. You know, something that like you keep that momentum and you continue to push yourself. You know, every single time that when I feel like I can't finish something, I always tell myself one more. You know, one more. That's it. Even if you still may have 20 more reps, 50 more reps, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like you kind of psych yourself out. You're like, okay, now one more. Next thing you know, you're done. You know, when you start, you're already halfway done.
Yeah.
Right. And when you're halfway done, you're already finished. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like you start to do things, everything that you do, you start doing it like that.
Mm-hmm. You know? Have you always been that way?
No, I always knew I had something in me. I was always very like, I like to move. I was very curious all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I just didn't know. You know, sometimes you feel that in you, but you need somebody to kind of take it out in a way, right? You need people to motivate you. You need good people to teach you things. Mm-hmm. You know, so then like it naturally starts to kind of build within yourself. Mm-hmm. You know.
I hope nobody hears the people outside, the gardeners. I can't plan that. I never know when they're out there. But yeah, I think that's the most important thing about our community right now. Like for me, I'm all about the energy, like how a community could make me feel. And at least with our community right now, everyone wants to be there.
Right.
Everyone is happy to be there. Like double classes, early morning classes. The energy is so family.
Yeah.
And it's in the title. It's in the name. Right. Like we are doing this because it's our lifestyle. I train every single day. And if I can't, it's because I literally can.
Right.
It's because I have other plans or family stuff. But every day we're all showing up there to do one thing for ourselves.
Right.
Like train, learn how to fight, or be around people that live off of just highly motivating energy.
Yeah, that's it. And then that's what we wanted to push in the beginning, right? That's everyone does something every day, right? So depending on what lifestyle that you build, be training every day, you feel like if the more and more that you're around it, the more and more you feel like welcome. Mm-hmm. Right? And the environment is very important for me. When I see people come and then they can relate to the name because you build that lifestyle and then that's how you live.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that people, they feel welcome, right? With anything that you do. And then you know, you've seen the environment the minute that you walked into that gym.
Yeah.
Everyone was very helpful. And, you know, that's very important. I don't want anybody to feel that like, they feel intimidated, especially stepping into like an MMA gym, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of the times you step in and then you may not even know what you're about. Mm-hmm. If you never try it, right? You may be very talented in the sport, but you may get drawn away because of someone that may have made you feel a certain way or whatever, right? And you never really find out. But here, if you need that extra push, you're gonna get it.
Yep.
If you need somebody to slowly show you the ropes and show you how to move, you'll get that. Mm-hmm. You know, you need somebody to talk to, you'll get that. You need just to go in there and just to have a good cardio workout and socialize with people, meet people, you'll get that. You know, so you'll get all different lifestyles, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what to me is more important for that. It's the, mm-hmm. the community that you build.
That's actually what I caught from you immediately, because I think the first time we talked was last week or mm-hmm. not, for a long time.
Yeah.
And when you're giving me a tour of everything, and I realized the core principle of why you do this and how you think is literally for the people.
Right.
And it's the fact that you love talking to people. You've done hair barber. You realize that people need more right now. People need so much more right now. It can't do much of the education system unless you're in that industry. Churches are already trying their best. Missionaries are not in America. Rehabs, you have to go to them.
Right.
What is there? There's yoga. There's gym. There's boxing. And then when you go to those communities, are you just showing up for an hour? Or do you have a couple people that you hug? You know, you have a couple people that you see every day. So you have to check in on them. You have to be connected with what's up with their day. And now you're doing life with them. And we don't do life with a lot of people, only the ones you see every day. So if you're going to spend 2 hours somewhere in the evening, it better be a whole lot of love. That's my free time after work. And there's genuinely nowhere else I'd rather be, because I'm part of something.
Right.
I see people that I miss from the day before, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing to be part of.
No, yeah. And that's when I remember the first time I ever went to a barbershop, I was 15 years old. You know, ever since I've always liked getting haircuts, but I remember my dad would cut my hair all the time, and every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. I stepped into a barbershop. It was I believe it was in Mountain View, and this barber, he was cutting all of the Niner players, right?
Whoa.
And you know, you step in there, and it's just a good time. You know, everyone's either he's always making fun of someone, but it's a community. It's like you're bullshitting, you're talking shit, but it's in a loving, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that. And then I asked him, I was like, hey, is this all you do all day? He's like, yeah. I was like, this is dope. Because it's everyone's a family. You come in here, you enjoy it. You talk to them, you cut in the hair, and you may see people that you haven't seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, and then or you may meet someone that you may do business with later, you know, and the same thing with the gym. You know, it's the same type of community. I've always enjoyed that. And in a barbershop, when I would get a client, and then they would see someone that they haven't seen ever since high school, and then it's the genuine hug, hey bro, nice to see you, this and that, and how you been, catch up. That's what the important thing is.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than getting that haircut. It's mm-hmm. bigger than training, you know, and that's the real connection. And mm-hmm. then the gym. Yeah, you meet people, and then you see people that you haven't seen in a long time, and you're like, oh, I didn't know you did boxing. How you been? You know, I haven't seen you since high school, whatever. You know, it's like, wow, that's what we do it for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the I've always enjoyed watching that. Yeah.
You also work with the people at your gym, though, right?
Yeah.
So what's that like, seeing the same people all day?
I like doing it because you learn more. You build different connection, right? A gym, you may see them for a little bit, and then it's a short conversation. And some of the style is a couple of style, you know, we all live together,
mm-hmm.
and it's all one big family, you know. And I think that being around the right people is what actually makes each other better. So we look at it like that, right? We created a gym, and then everyone knows that, like, everyone that's in the front that works at the salon, it's their gym too. You know, so then they don't realize that before, that we have a couple barbers that they never even did boxing before. They never really even thought of it. Mm-hmm. Now they're in there hitting the speed bag, you know, jumping in the classes. And it's amazing because now they're taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the mindset of it too, yeah. Of like actually paying attention to your health, you know. And when it's motivating, you know. That's where you get the momentum when you see someone like that. So I mean, I enjoy it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something that's been fascinating to me is just the concept of vanity, like how we do so much for our looks. Mm-hmm. And as I was kind of like, yeah, we do too much for our looks. We need to be more down to earth and natural and not care about how we look. But it's like in our truest essence to feel beautiful, to look good,
right,
as much as we can, to feel good and look good,
right,
all the time, and to give off that image to others as well. And with fitness being involved, that's like the missing piece. Do you think that you could see yourself running like seminars talking about self-esteem, health and fitness, as far as like eating side or like women's self-esteem or like self-defense? Can you see seminars in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it. You know, when I was I had to be in like straight graduated from right out of high school, I actually had a good friend ask me, he's like, hey, what do you see yourself doing? And then I told him, I was like, I want to be a motivating speaker.
No way. Yeah.
So I was actually on driving here and I was thinking about that. You know, it's crazy how like life works, how everything starts to kind of fall into play.
Yeah.
You know, and he had told me, he's like, okay, he's like, that's good. You know, you're going to have to deal with a lot. You know, it's like you gotta go through things. And I'm like, yeah, no, like that's, he said, what kind of motivated speaker? I was like, I want to motivate like individuals who may feel like down or like, you know, anybody that doesn't have a, like a direction. Mm-hmm. Right. And that was the first time I ever had that thought. It just, you know, kind of forgot about it. And then now with this and the barbershop, and you know, it's like I said before, health and beauty is the most important thing for every individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like if more and more people find out of like how to do it, and that they have that available for them, I truly believe that they'll do things, whatever they have going on in work life.
Yeah.
They'll find out more about themselves, and in a way where everyone's gonna be confidence, because that's how you build that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, women, when you walk in there and then you feel like it's not being cocky, like a lot of people they get it confused, right? When you walk in there and you know what you want, right? If women, men, whatever, when you walk in there and then you could tell that they have that confidence. I enjoy that, right? Like I like that. I'm like, okay, like good. They know what they want, you know, and you want to be around that.
Hmm.
Empowering like more people. So if we could do that, like, you know, you never know. You never know with time, you know. It's just that could be something down the line and we could definitely do, you know.
That's just wild that you wanted to do motivational speaking at one point.
Yeah, I know.
Who do you listen to?
Who was the first person? The first person I really talking about like podcasting.
Anyone that's like in that motivational realm.
His name is Ed Milet.
Oh yeah.
Ed Milet was huge. That was the first person I ever listened to, and I heard of him through one of my clients. He was in the financial services, And he, Ed Milet, actually was one of the biggest guys that he also did financial services in the same company. And he became a speaker for the whole company. And then now started doing his own businesses outside of that.
Oh.
So when I first heard of him, then I started looking up different speakers, you know, like, he was another big guy that, I can't think.
Tony Robbins
was one of the first guys too.
He was the first one to make it cool. Yeah. Like everybody knows Tony Robbins. Yeah.
Who's that owner? I don't know if you heard the owner of, First Form.
Yeah. His name Andy is Andy Frisella.
So it's like everyone's, it's different topics, you know, Andy Frisella. I don't know if you heard of Brad Lee.
I love them. Those are my favorites.
Yeah. So, I hear them and a lot of the times, like every morning, I actually, I listen to something positive.
Okay.
But I started doing that, I would say like during, a little bit after COVID, probably about a year after, every morning I would listen to something positive. Mm-hmm. And then, I remember my son, he asked me one day, he's like, Dada, he's like, why do you always listen to someone speaking? And I'm like, oh, because it's positive information for your mind, you know, in the morning, especially in the morning. That's what you're already feeding. And he's like, oh, I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, this is, you need to listen to this thing, to these things, because like, that's what's going to make you stronger. I was like, you're, I, ever since he was born, I would always tell him, hey, Roman, you're a beast. And then he would just look at me, like 3 months old, right? I'm telling him that. I'm like, you're a beast. And then now he's like, Dada, I'm a beast.
Dang.
I was like, yeah, you are. He's like, you're a beast. And he's like, look, I'm strong. I was like, yeah, you are. You're strong, you know? So he knows patterns, right? He knows those habits that I'm building. Same thing, right? Because then now the older he gets, he starts to understand. He starts to ask different questions. He sees things. Like, it's better for him to learn it now. I didn't learn it till what? And I was like 26, 27. Mm-hmm. So all these years, and he's only 6 years old. Dang. Already asking me like deep questions, you know? So,
wow. He's so very confident. Confident, bright kid, especially that age around all adults, like big adults.
Yeah.
He's so happy in there. He's so cute.
He's always, you know, he's always been around it. He's been in the barbershop and in the gym. This past week was the first week that he's actually asked me to hold mitts for him.
Oh, dang. He asked you?
He asked me to hold mitts for him. He wanted me to wrap his hands because he's around it, but I never try to push it. He's got to be around it because I do it, you know? Yeah. So, and he knows that, like, he tells me, he's like, oh, I'm the owner. Aww. I'm like, yeah, okay, you are the owner. I was like, what should we do? What else should we do? So he looks at everything and he gives me ideas too. Wow. He told me to put a vending machine in there. Right.
That's genius.
He's like, Dada, you should put a vending machine in here. And he's like, you should have snacks. I was like, yeah, you're taking all the snacks on.
Dang.
But, you know, little things like that make him confidence, you know, I allow him to feel that way. And when he asked me last week that, he's like, I want you to hold mitts. I'm like, okay. And he loved it. He enjoyed it. The minute I put his hand wraps, he looks at his hands. He's just like, wow. He puts on his gloves and he starts hitting. You know,
and how'd he do?
Oh, he did amazing. He remembered the same combination that I was teaching him that day, and he taught my cousin.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, he my cousin. It was one of the barbers too, that she came and he showed her that. Oh, and he was like showing her exactly how to move, right? And he's like, she told me after, and she's like, hey, you know what you just did? I was like, what? Like, he showed me the same combination. What you were teaching him, he showed him the same combination that you did. I was like, damn, that's crazy. For him to actually to remember it. It was like replaying it in his head. And he, mm-hmm. same move. You know? So
that's beautiful.
That's I don't know, like powerful. That right there, like really, really like touched me. It makes me happy.
All he's seeing is sky's the limit and anything's possible.
Yeah.
That's the most greatest thing you can give a child.
So I always, you know, push that towards him. You could do whatever you would like, you know, sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. And especially with motivation, that is the perfect thing for a child, because they have the biggest imagination. They think anything is possible. They think that their imagination is real.
Right.
And then life happens and you realize, oh, people are rude. People are going to backstab you. People are terrible. Business is hard. Life happens and it kind of crushes you, only to find a path of motivation to get back to knowing, like, whatever you want in life you could have.
Right.
But for a child, if they could skip getting crushed and just know life happens, but you still can't do anything. Like, yeah, with the motivation he's seeing now, I started listening to motivation when I was a child and it stuck with me because mm-hmm. my parents forced me to. Not forced me. They were just always listening. And mm-hmm. so I always had to as well. And I remember the confusion, like, yeah, why are you listening to someone else?
Yeah.
But it's implanted in my brain as normal, just like your son. He's going to be used to being around gyms. He's going to be used to going up, introducing himself to like some new guy with gloves on. Like, mm-hmm. it's insane what is going to be normal for him just because you get to bring him in that environment. Like, the skills that he's just going to have,
right,
that are not going to be taught because you own a gym.
Right. No, yeah. I always have those conversations with him where I tell him, I'm like, hey, continue to have that imagination, that mm-hmm. creativity. Don't ever lose that. You know, that's why I he has an idea. I'm like, okay, you know, I make him think. Whenever he wants something too, I always ask him, why do you want it? Like, give me three good reasons as to why would you like that? Do you need it? Then he starts telling me, right? And he realizes that he doesn't need it. It could be a toy, right? I'm like, do you need that toy? You know how many toys you got? And then he's just like, yeah, but this and that. He's like, I need it. And I was like, I don't have this one. I'm like, yeah, but why? And then next thing you know, he's like, yeah, never mind. He's like, he's like, so I don't need it. I was like, see? So yeah. it's every time that he does something, he'll think twice before doing it, you know?
Dang.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just a matter of, like, he's taught me a lot of patience, though. I remember one time he broke, he was eating and he was just playing. I had already told him, I'm like, hey, like, sit down and eat. And he accidentally knocked down a plate and he broke it, right? So mm-hmm. and I go over there, and then first thing I was kind of mad. I was mad. I'm like, dude, I told you. I was like, the minute, I was like, what happened? And he was crying already. And I know what my dad would have done. My mom would have yelled at me.
Yeah.
Said, see, I told you. You know, so and you're scared. You're like, what? Like, oh, my fault, you know, like. And I caught myself and I told him, like, hey, are you hurt? He's like, no. I'm like, okay, it's all right. You're good. You're fine. I was like, you broke it? Like, don't worry about the plate, because he's worried about the plate. I'm like, we'll get another one. Don't worry about it. And he's like, okay. So to me, it's that allows him to be more open with me, you know, compared to if I would have yelled at him, he would have thought that every single time that he did something, he's doing it wrong. So he never mm-hmm. shares anything with me. You know, it doesn't, from asking questions, whatever, because that's how I know that's how I felt. You know, they your parents may tell you that, hey, you could be open with me, but then in a way you don't want to, because you, what if they get mad?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're like, oh, well, never mind. I'd rather not have you be mad at me, so I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, and for him, it's like, you know, he's very open, and he'll ask me anything, you know, good, yeah, bad. Sometimes I'm like, damn, like, where'd you hear that? You know, but it's better for him to know about it now, through me, and so he doesn't have to hear it, like, friends, you know, like, and or on TV, videos, whatever, mm-hmm. you know.
Is he scared of you? the laugh.
I mean, I don't, he's like, I would say he's scared of me, like me in a good way. I don't know. He knows when I'm serious,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he likes to play around a lot.
Yeah.
So then I'll play with him. And then when I get serious, he's like, oh, okay. He'll step back. So it's like a small little intimidation that you may feel. You know?
That's what I'm like, when I have kids, I totally don't know how to navigate, like, respect me and have like fear, or maybe like my person, or you know, like express yourself. I want to be the one that knows the good and the bad of you, not your friends. I want that to be me.
Right.
You know, like, but I've seen the people that let their kids be fully themselves lack discipline. But maybe it's just the Islander background, because I just don't know how to maintain Islander ways without like disciplining your kids and spanking your kids. And then they fear you. But how do you have both respect and openness?
Yeah, I think that you got to make them feel you got to build that confidence, right?
Yeah.
And you got to make sure that they also know when you're being serious and when you're just playing around with them, right? Because like you have to build that confidence off of like discipline, certain things, right? Like you make them do a task, right? And then he gets it done, and then you motivate him to kind of like congratulate him, right? Like, hey, you did good, you know. Mm-hmm. That's building that confidence, because he knows that he did something that maybe it could be from like cleaning his room. Right. And that builds the confidence and the discipline behind it. And then whenever it's time to play, then you got to allow him to destroy things. Right. Like you're playing with him. You can't get mad at like, OK, well, you told him he could play. Right. And if you get mad at like, hey, well, you made a mess, but you told him that you could play. You didn't tell him that, hey, you could play, but don't make a mess.
Yeah.
So it's just based on like how you word things for him, right? So and he looks at things and like, okay, well, I could do what I want right now, and then you come in, okay, you did it. You might have made a mistake by making a huge mess, but then now you can help me clean it. So it's like a thing where like, okay, like I'm fine with that, right? And you show him the way where like, okay, and then like I said, you congratulate him after. See, look what you did. And it makes him feel, oh, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like that's something that like it has helped him out a lot. And like I said before, I try not to get super mad at him even when he you know, does something that like I didn't told him not to do. So it's like him, he understands that, right? He understands it in a sense where it's okay. It's okay you make a mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to keep moving. You got to keep moving forward and ask yourself, like, what'd you learn from that?
Do you talk to him like that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's so cool.
Yeah. So I've told him, I was like, okay, like, hey, you made a mistake, right? I was like, what? What'd you learn from that? He's like, what? Yeah, at first he's like, what? He's confused. Like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, what'd you learn from it? Is like, you didn't do it right. Like yesterday, he was actually, I got him, it was like a small, like a Superman, like Lego. And he was trying to take off his mask, right? And he was getting frustrated. And he's like, how do you take this off? He was getting frustrated to a point where he was going to cry. And I'm like, hey. I was like, calm down. I was like,
he had a mask stuck on his face. Yeah,
really scary. The Lego did. It was a head, right? And then he had like the mask, like he could actually take it off the actual head on the Lego, right? So he was getting frustrated. He was trying to take off the mask because you could change the colors.
Okay.
Right. So, and as he's telling me that, he's like, Dad, he's like, how you take it off? And I'm like, dude, like relax, like calm down. He's like, why do you want to take it off? He said, because I want to. It's crooked. He said it was crooked. You know, I'm like, you just turn it. I was like, you got to make sure they figure out a way to where, like, you don't get frustrated. You can't be getting frustrated. And then he's like, he just calmed down. I was like, look. I was like, how'd you turn it? Because it didn't come like this. I was like, you did it by trying to take it off, right? And he's like, yeah. I was like, well, then, like, what'd you do wrong right here? I was like, what'd you learn? I was like, next time, like, you don't turn it like that because now it's stuck. I was like, we need a special, like, thing is so small that we needed, like a, I don't know, like a screwdriver to just pop it off, you know?
To use a screwdriver?
Yeah.
I love how engaged you are, like, it's happening with this Lego. That's awesome.
And, yeah, once he, like, I told him that, he calmed down, you know? But if I would have yelled at him, oh, yelled at him in the day. I did, and that's another, you know, instance where like kind of it like you get frustrated because your kid is getting frustrated, and then you realize like, oh shit, like, you know, you gotta help him, you know, and it's okay if like you made a mistake. You gotta acknowledge that. You gotta make sure that he knows that too, and he you make him think as to like what. Okay, well, why did I do this? So next time around, like he won't, it comes, because it's going to come again, and then he does it better, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So. Oh,
that's so cute. I love that. I love how much of an engaged dad that you are, because like lack of fathers these days, and there's something so healing for a boy to have a man speak life into him.
Yeah.
For a man to speak like identity, you can do it. Work through it. Don't get frustrated. Like literally, you're not talking to him like he's a baby. You're talking to him like you're building a man. And that's the other thing. Like gym life creates that for people.
Right.
Coaches are literally step in dads oftentimes, or step in brothers, or like give you that encouragement, because the rest of the world, you know, it's all about work. But then finally you focus on you. Right. What do you need to work on?
Yeah.
And we don't all get that kind of like one-on-one looking at you, caring, trying to help you with your struggles, attention.
Yeah. No, I mean, he I always remind him too. I'm like, hey, you're blessed to be around a good environment of people, you know, and it's everyone from the gym, from the salon, you know. That's why I encourage that they talk to him like that, right? From everyone from the salon, they talk to him like that. They talk to him like he's an adult, you know. And I always saw his uncle Mikey. I'm like, Uncle Mikey. He's always talking about Uncle Mikey, you know. He's like always putting in like confidence in his head. Always like he looks out at his car. He's like, wow. He's like, dada. Now he's saying, he's like, I wanna have a Ferrari. I want to have a Lamborghini. He knows all those cars now because of his Uncle Mikey.
That's Uncle Mikey, awesome.
You know, he's like, he looks at it and he's like, Dada, I want that. The other day he got it was a Hot Wheel, and it was a Lamborghini. And out of all the Hot Wheels that he got, he chose that one. He got that one out. He's like, look, Dada, I got a Lamborghini.
Did you tell him he can only get it in black or white?
Yeah, I told him. I was like,
did you really?
Yeah, I was like, only black and white, but he wants a red one.
Oh, new trend.
And then but you know, those are the things that I remind them of. I'm like, hey, you're blessed to be around the right people,
mm-hmm.
you know, because like every single person that's around him, like they put good things in his head, you know. And that's another way to build that confidence, mm-hmm. you know, for him to already be riding in those cars and riding in a Rolls Royce. I'm like, dude, you're lucky. He doesn't realize that. He's like, what? I was like, yeah, you're lucky. I was like, dude, you're 6 years old, and your Uncle Mikey takes you in his Rolls Royce, mm-hmm. and then he's like, oh, you know, it's just. It took me 20, 25, 26 years to finally ride in a car like that. You know, it's a different feeling.
Yeah.
You know, you get exposed to those things, and then you feel like a lot of people may feel like they're so far away from you. Like they're not even possible to have,
mm-hmm.
you know. And but for him, it's like it's so close to him that it becomes normal.
Yeah,
you know, to have. So then he starts to set bigger goals. He starts to always want to work. Like now he'll tell me like, oh, I'm gonna work. You know, I'm like, okay, good. Like it's the drive that he has, because he wants that. And you got to constantly remind him like, hey, you want that, you got to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not just gonna get it handed to you like that,
mm-hmm.
so those are like very important things that like try to push on them,
mm-hmm. you know? They say the parent's ceiling is a child's foundation.
Yeah.
Now you can only keep being around people like that, because it got too normal for him.
Yeah. No,
he's
exactly
used to high quality high end, and now you have to maintain it.
Yeah. No, and that's you're right. I mean, now it's like there's no way now he can't he doesn't see those things no more. He's gonna be like, oh, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know, my boy always tells me that. He's like, the hardest thing is maintaining it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So now it's like, but like I said, it's like continuing to keep working, keep working, keep busy, stay busy. Like I really believe that the more things that you have in your plate, create a lot more pressure on yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like it's a test to see how much you could handle. You want to have all those things. You want to, you know, have a big house. Like I've always wanted a house by the beach. Mm. And that's what I want, you know? So like I get exposed to those things, and I know that I need to continue to work. It's a lot more pressure, but then I know that it's well worth it. Mm. You know, it's going to be well worth it in the end. If, as long as my son is happy and I'm able to provide that for him, I'll keep working. Mm. You know, and he sees it and he continues it with his kids, his grandkids, you know, and you build a legacy. Mm-hmm. You know, you build a whole community. You know, if everybody's on the same, ain't just that one person, you know, and that everyone wants to do everything all at once, or everyone, they just want to have be the one, they want to be the boss, or mm-hmm. you know, and they don't want to share that information with somebody that you care for, because like for whatever reason, you know, oh, I'm afraid that he might take over, whatever, who cares, you know. It's like everyone's a boss. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it should be like. Everyone's a boss. I was like, you're a boss, I'm a boss, he's a boss. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like you want bosses around you, so you could go ahead and build that.
Oh yeah, you know, I feel that so much with all you guys. I feel it before training, after training, and everyone's just like, feels good. There's no competition element to it. Yeah. It's all, we're all here to get better.
Right. So you're focused on yourself, you mm-hmm. know. You're focused on the next guy trying to like take your place. I was like, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's a matter of like helping each other out. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, and being part of something bigger than yourself. Like, just as a, what am I? An employee? I'm not an employee. I'm a member. As a member, I could come and go and it means nothing. But I am part of something bigger than myself. I'm part of a organization and community that is going to bless other people, teach people how to protect themselves, give people like the safety within their own self-esteem to love themselves because they show up for themselves.
Right.
It's not just I show up to get skinnier and learn how to fight. No, I'm part of a winning community. These people have strong minds.
Right.
These people care for each other. If I don't show up for a week, someone's going to text me where I am because they care. And they know I wouldn't skip a week.
Yeah.
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 And it's the hugest blessing. The greatest thing one can do is be around a good environment. And that's why I go to lifestyle.
Right.
I followed my coach because I learned how to be a killer. And I like the people he surrounds himself with. And I met you.
Yeah. No, that's great. No, yeah. And that's what... It you bring good people around you, right? Mm-hmm. Together, it's the energy. Mm-hmm. You know, I have people ask me like, "Yo, how'd you do it?" And it's not just me; it's the energy that I put towards the gym that it you know, you bring people like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then those people put out the energy. You know, I talked to Coach Murph about this one morning where. I was like, hey, you know what the dope part about this right now is that like, if you feel down one day, I was like, you got people around you that are motivated and they're going to go ahead and uplift you. Mm-hmm. If I feel down one day, I already know, like you said, for a fact that like, you're going to go ahead and have people check in on you. Hey, what's going on? You know, and because you're not always going to, you know, people, you deal with shit. Everyone deals with things, you know, and deal with it in a different way. But at the end of the day, it's like, who's there with you, right?
Mm.
Who's there with you in the good and bad times, and who's gonna deal with it the best way? Is like who's gonna help you deal with it,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you're gonna remember those people that were there from the start, from when you were struggling, whatever, right? So that's what I remember. I told him, I was like, and he's a good person, a good great coach to have around, you know, because he understands the discipline, he understands like the mentality of like continue to push people, and then have them reach their full potential and get them to the next level, mm-hmm. you know? So.
Yeah. It's not even like, we're going to learn jiu-jitsu. It's like, we're going to get better.
Yeah.
That's all of us there.
And that, yeah, like, and that's the gym is, that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. We're going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody could come and join. You want to get better? Come here. You know,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to get better? Don't come here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's a place where, you are going to uplift each other and you have an idea, you have something that you want to do. Hey, come talk to us and let's do it together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
What was the hardest part about starting the gym?
Starting it, jumping and doing it
and really?
not overthinking it. You know, I used to overthink like a lot of things, like from the first time that from the first time that I went on my own from, being at a barbershop, I didn't know if I was making the right decision, you know, because I had this thing where like, well, this is the first barbershop that I went to, you know, it's I enjoyed cutting hair there, but then I started overthinking it. I kind of like, look, I didn't pay attention to how I felt like, what my goals were. Right. So I ended up doing it. Every little decision that I've made that I were overthinking it. And then this time around, it was like, I kind of thought of it at first a little bit. And then I was just like, no, this is it. Like just making that decision.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think that a lot of people, they may have an idea and they just don't jump on it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how many people have wanna do something, but they never get it done. Right. It's just that thought. And it's actually not that crazy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fear. There ain't no fear.
Yeah.
You know, it's just ain't no fear. Like, because at the end of the day, you're still alive. You know, if it doesn't work out, so what?
Mm-hmm.
You did it. You started this. And then move on. Next time around, you do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I would say that was probably been... And obviously, like, yeah, you know, trying to get it right, trying to move things around and the work that goes behind it. Like, but, you know, I was used to that. You know, I was used to just like, it's like I was trained to work, you know.
What did you start doing? What was your first job?
Machine operator.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I was at a machine shop. I would pretty much any metal parts and just put them in the machine and program, or not program, but the machines were already programmed, but just continue it to have it run, cut up the machine. I forget what we used to make. It's like small parts for, I think they were like for like hospital chairs.
Wow, that's really cool.
So I would do all that, like from deburring, cutting up the parts, and then... That was what I think I was like 17. Yeah. And then after that, I always wanted to do valet.
That's so funny.
Valet. Cause I wanted to drive nice cars. I'm like, I know that I'm gonna, yeah. So,
and you get tipped.
Yeah. So I was doing valet. I would say valet was probably one of my, longest jobs that
you
I
liked
had.
It.
I did like it. At first, yeah, that's I liked cool. it at first. I just kind of, just the trying different cars, driving new cars, and that was the first time I drove a Lamborghini and Ferrari, and I remember the first time I drove one. It just, the smell of it, it felt right. I'm like, damn, this feels like this fits me right here, you know, and that's, never forgot that feeling.
Why it's a car?
Why.
I've never been in a Lamborghini. Uh-huh. Is it the car? Is it the animal in the center?
To me, it was the smell of the leather.
The logo, though. Is it the one with the...
The logo? Which one? Lamborghini or Ferrari? Ferrari is with the horse.
Which one has the other animal?
I think it's the Lamborghini.
Is it?
Lamborghini is different, though. So the horse has the animal in the middle.
Mustang.
The Mustang is like, yeah, that's also a different horse. One. Yeah.
I don't get it. So it was the leather for you in the Lamborghini.
Yeah, it was, you know, you hear about the Lamborghini, you always hear about the Lamborghini doors and but for me it was more the performance, the leather, the way that it was, the quality of it. You know, it's just like, I'm like, damn, the engineering that went behind it, the time that went behind it, you know. It was just, you could tell it was just so much love behind it.
You're a car guy.
I'm just like, oh, that's, man, awesome. this felt right, you know. And so I mean, continue to drive those cars and I remember I would book it. I would get the keys and I would run to get the car. And then because I wanted, especially if the guest was there.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to show them, like, I'm going to go run so I could get a bigger tip.
Did it work?
It did.
Nice. I respect it when people, like, have a hustle in their step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a, but no, it was a good experience, too.
And then valet to hair?
Valet.
Or barbering?
Yeah, I think it was, no, you know what? It was valet, and then I used to do delivery. Deliver meals. This is when I was going to school. And then once I finished college is when I went to barber school. Yeah, so but yeah, it was just small little jobs, delivering food, Uber, all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you done a few jobs.
Yeah, I did. But I hated jobs. I was like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. You know,
you don't hate working, you hate jobs.
I hate jobs. I don't like to feel like somebody else is controlling my time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if I had to be there, you know, I'll work, like, I would work like what, 10, some, especially in valet, like 10, 12 hours sometimes, and just,
wow.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't mind it, you know, like I'm not gonna sit there and just because I hate my job, you know, it's like, you hate your job, then go look for something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the people, especially in the customer service industry, like you have a job and you don't enjoy doing it, so that gives you the right to treat somebody else the wrong way. You know, it's like the energy that they may feel. I'm like, nah, I never enjoyed doing that too. Like,
yeah.
That's why now I go to like a, I don't know, it could be a fast food restaurant, whatever. And they, if they don't like say hi or anything, I'm like, man, I don't even want to eat here no more.
I'm going home. Are you really like that? You'll leave?
There's been a couple times, not all the time, but if I'm cool. Really high, I'm not going to leave. I'm like, yo, I'm hungry, but I'm not going to, just give me my food.
Yeah.
You know, like, but yeah, it's just I get it. You know, people go through some things, and you may be, they may be dealing with something throughout the day, but it's just it doesn't give you the right to put it out on somebody else. You know.
Yeah.
So
people don't understand that, like, not working for someone else doesn't mean that you get to have like more free time working for yourself. Working for yourself, you're going to be working 10 times more.
Oh yeah.
Like, quite literally, it's the greatest privilege to create your own hours, but those hours are mostly just going to all be working.
Right.
Like, the little things that people don't think about in the business development, like your free time with your sons, probably like reposting social media.
Yeah.
Like, you're still working. You don't track that time. Right. That's just, I work for myself. I work all the time, but it's my time.
No, I really, you're right. I mean, it's, I've had clients ask me like, hey, like you, when is your time off? You know, I get that question asked all the time. What days do you take off? I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I'm working all the time, but my time off is with my son, you know, and that's what I, a few hours, you know, I still work like on Sundays. I still go to the gym. I still work out. I still might have a couple of haircuts in the morning, but then like in the afternoon I'll have like some free time with my son. And during that time, like I'll give him my attention, and then at the same time I'm still like kind of thinking about like, okay, what do we got to do now? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like you're working in a different way, right? So I don't usually take any, I wouldn't take time off. Mm-hmm. So like you said, it's a different hustle. People want to be their own boss, and that's great. You know, go ahead and try it out. Mm-hmm. And then see if you can't go home at like 5 in the evening if you still got shit to do, you know, and who's going to do it? You know, you mm-hmm. got to be okay with going home at 11 midnight.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get home 1-2 in the morning, you sleep 3-4 hours, and you got to get up and do it again. You know, it's like you got to be willing to do that. If you're not willing to do that, then it's all good. Just keep working, mm-hmm. you know? Those are things that I'm like, okay, it's like sacrifices. Sacrifice time with my son, and that, you know, a lot of people, they want to spend a lot of the times with family time. That's fine. That's good, you know? But I think that you don't always have to be every day spending hella time with your family. If it's not necessary, if you got things to do, they got to understand that, like, mm-hmm. hey, I got things to do. You guys want to be good? Like, I gotta do this. Ain't nobody else going to do it.
Yep.
You know, so, and that's like, I haven't seen my parents in what, like maybe 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So they always ask me, hey, come visit us. They live up in Reading.
Mm.
And when I don't call them, they're like, oh, you don't call us no more. I'm like, you don't call me. You know, I'm like, you don't call me. You don't check in. But they understand. And I've talked to them about that before. I'm like, hey, like, I got to work right now. I was like, oh, my mom. Oh, mijo. I'm like, you know, you're going to drive yourself crazy. I was like, mom, I'm already crazy. You know what I mean? I'm already like crazy. I don't know. I'm just, she's like, yeah, but like, you're going to drive yourself crazy. You can't be working so much. I want you guys to be good. You know, and ain't nobody else doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, ain't nobody else going over to the next level. Like, it's just making a difference and doing something different. Like, not following the family tree. Ever since we were kids, they're like, go to college, go to school. It's good. Like, but for me, it's just, I couldn't do it. You know, I went to junior college, but I couldn't go to university. You know, she would always tell me, she would try to rub it in my face sometimes, because all my siblings, both of my older sisters, my younger brother, they all went to universities. And then I remember she told me one time, she's like, oh, you know, you should go to university. I'm like, for what? You know, it's just, I can't do that. She's like, oh, well, you know, like, you got to get your education. I'm like, you know, kind of in the, I'm like, okay. But it kind of just pushed me to show him a different way,
mm-hmm.
right? Show him a different route. Like, and then now, yeah, it's a lot of work, but I enjoy it. I want to show them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to make them proud. And then it's not till like now, and they're like, oh shit, like, you know, same thing with my dad. My dad used to tell me that I wasn't gonna do anything. He's like, you're not gonna do shit in life, you know.
It's terrible.
No, yeah, no, but it's. I mean, he didn't mean it in like, I feel like in a bad way, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I was getting in trouble and like, you know, it's just in high school, and I remember he told me that one time. I'm like, all right. You know, but it's what are you gonna do with that, right? You either accept it, and then you continue to tell yourself, oh, well, I'm not gonna do shit anyway, so might as well just not do anything,
mm-hmm.
or you're gonna go ahead and take it and then use that as motivation.
Yeah,
you know, just how you gonna take things? And people will tell you, oh, you can't do this, you can't do a podcast. All right, watch me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, or all right, yeah, you're right. You know, same thing with the gym. Oh, it's not going to work out. Oh, I don't think you should do it like that. All right. Yeah, you're right. I'm gonna do it this way. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do it my way. And but I appreciate your input on it, you know, but I'm gonna go ahead and do it this way. And if it doesn't work out, at least it's my fault.
Yeah, feels better. It
feels better because you're like, okay, it didn't work out this way. All right, well, then you shift a different way. You know, we were talking about this earlier where you could write your whole plan down, right? Your whole day, you could write it down. Something happens, time, whatever, like accident, car accident happens on the way to the gym. Then now what? Now you're pissed off because, like, you're late.
Right.
Right? It's things that you can't control. Same thing with business, right? You could write things down. You could write how you're going to want a certain look. And then if it doesn't go that way because, like, it didn't, you know, the measurements weren't right that happened to us.
For you what?
Know, for it was like so the boxing ring when it first came, like it was too big. I was expecting it to be smaller, right? The measurements weren't right, and then I saw it, I was like, oh shit, and I had already bought a rack for the bags, and then it was supposed to be in a corner, you know where the speedy bag is at? It was supposed to be in that corner, and it was too tight, so then I ended up having to get rid of the bag rack, so I had to adjust, but I didn't, like, I was okay with it. Mm-hmm. I accepted it. I wasn't pissed off or anything. I'm like, well, I mean, that's my fault for not taking the right measurements. Mm. You know, so it's and you shift a different way, you know, and that's what you do that with everything, you know. Mm-hmm. You plan out your day, your goals, your life, your whatever you want to do, and if you continue to, like, force things because, and you don't do it because of, for that reason, oh, well, no, I'm supposed to do it like this. This is how I'm supposed to do it. Then you miss on opportunities that you might have actually got that same thing done a different way. Mm. You see what I mean? So that's why, like, you just got to go with it.
Yeah.
And just keep going, keep jumping, keep, you know. Yeah. And then you'll see what meets you.
I feel like I've been seeing that, just like a little bit of creating your own path.
Yeah.
And that feeling an edge of, oh, I didn't go to college.
Yeah.
Like, I really didn't go to one day of college.
Yeah.
I'm thankful my parents were down for me to not. But now it's like, I really have to have a career or just be able to take care of myself. And as I continue to take risks, like, I just feel myself, like, God blessing me or giving me the craziest opportunities where I'm just like, how? Like, I don't deserve this.
Right.
But maybe somehow I did if I got, you know, if I worked for it. But it's like these crazy opportunities that only come when you just believe in that feeling that's bigger than logic.
Right.
That doesn't make sense, but you're like, maybe, just maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you say you can't force it. You mm-hmm. just got to keep going, you know, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah. Well, we are about at an hour, and I've been taking much of your time, especially before, so sorry on that. Can you tell me what it means for you to elevate?
Elevate. To me, it's to be able to, it's not just about yourself. I think if you create opportunities for others and you create an opening for other people and you want to get to the next level is being able to empower people and being able to, like, make a difference in their lives. Mm. You know, and then the happiness that you get behind that is amazing. You know, it's to me it's not just elevating, like, you know, yourself. It's elevating with everybody else, you know, and if you're able to do that and you're able to get together with people and then you see everyone, I always, like, picture a big gathering. It could be a barbecue, right? Someone's house and everyone pulls up, everyone comes in and everyone has their own business. You pull up in a whatever, exotics or exotic cars, like, but I always see that, right? To in a house, like, friends, family, and then you come together and then everyone's like, damn, they hate talking about, like, the business is going, and that's the real elevation right there, you know. Not just you doing it and then not helping others and to elevating them as well. Because I feel like a lot of, a lot of people, a lot of successful people that they may not understand that, like where they're continuing to push, right, to the next level. But then if you don't have anybody around you, then you can't really enjoy it, you know? Yeah. And the most important thing is like family, like creating your own family, having people around you that they're also like, you're showing them the way of doing it, you know, and helping people if they're in trouble and if they have like issues going on in mm-hmm. life, whatever, like that's elevation right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dang. That's the coolest definition I've heard. Because you're right, it you can't elevate without each other.
Yeah.
And if so, what's the point? Why do it?
Yeah.
Like, it feels so good. That's the feeling. I think that's why I do it. The feeling of getting to elevate someone else.
Right.
Like, it's just, you love each other, you know?
Yeah.
When you get to feel that with someone else, it's just straight up love.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How can people find you?
You search us up on Instagram, Lifestyle Training Center, or if you wanted to follow my personal page, it's omar.carlos. Come check out the gym, you know, and find us on Yelp too. Yelp, Google.
I have to do my reviews there because those matter.
Yeah, they do. Please. Yeah.
Well, I just want to commend you so much for doing this. And the way our paths cross was just destined to be. And I'm so thankful and excited for this new path I get to be part of with Lifestyle and having such a solid community and being aligned with you being the owner and having my team in an environment where we get to just be happy together. It's literally my weekend atmosphere. It's my favorite thing to do. And I get to do it with your team now. And I'm just really happy to be part of what you're doing. And there's so much work that goes behind what you do. And I just want to say thank you for doing it.
Thank you. No, thank you for having me here. And thank you for coming by and believing in the dream of the gym.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I'm here.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Please keep elevating and have a beautiful and awesome day. Goodbye.